Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good evening, church. It's great to be with you all tonight. And thank you, Kayla and the Holy Spirit, for those songs tonight. Sounds like God's got a message for us, which I'm really excited about and pumped to bring, despite some bad news that I just heard about my beloved football team. But God is still good. God is still good. Have you, Collingwood supporters right now, still in need of God's love. I'm still a work in progress. No, that's okay. That's okay. There's more to life than football. So tonight I am excited. I'm excited to bring the word. Have you ever received or been given a gift in life with a string attached to it? I think that was actually brought up this morning. Might have been Dawn used that term, string attached. Anyone that's got married in their life would know that the engagement ring, it comes, it's a gift, but it has a string attached because you can't accept the engagement ring unless you accept what comes with it, which is the partner. And the female might be like, that's a really nice ring, but do I really want to sacrifice what it comes with? When I started to catch on to the fact that I was going to marry Holly, I decided to give a strategic gift myself. Holly was showing interest at the time in learning guitar, and I had my first guitar there, and I'd got a new guitar, but the first guitar still had real sentimental value to me. And on the one hand, it was going to look really sacrificial because she knows how much I loved that guitar to give it to her. And so I decided to give it to her for her birthday. But I also knew that I wasn't too far off proposing at the time. So I knew that guitar was actually going to end up straight back in my house. Anyway, so it was a strategic gift. But this is a common mentality of mankind a little bit, not just when it comes to gifts and giving gifts, but also giving time and energy and money and effort. We so often think, how is this going to get back to me? How will it benefit me? What am I going to get out of this by giving it? The natural inclination of our flesh is, what's in this for me? And I think Holly caught on to the fact that the guitar wasn't such a great sacrifice. But what she did appreciate more was after that being taken to the ballet, because she knew that had nothing to do with my interests or nothing to do with what I wanted to do. Because often the most genuine gifts, the most appreciated sentiments, are those where the receiver actually knows that you've sacrificed something to give that gift. You've put the other person first. And tonight I want to read a passage out of the Gospels that illustrates an incredible offering to Jesus. A moment where self was taken completely out of the equation. And it's an amazing sacrifice, but it's also a bit of an awkward dialogue which we're going to unpack in John chapter 12. And it's set 7 days before Jesus is crucified, so right towards the end of his ministry. John chapter 12 verse 1 says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. He said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." And so in this passage, we see two contrasting perspectives. We see one from Mary, who pours the perfume on Jesus' feet, and we see the other from Judas, who questions the action. And I read this in a commentary. The contrast could not be more pronounced. Mary is generous, Judas is greedy. Mary is humble, Judas is arrogant. Mary is selfless, Judas is self-centered. Judas stands aloof while Mary kneels in humble adoration. Together they serve as a vivid, contrasting illustration of Jesus' own teaching, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We are called to have our treasure set in Jesus. Mary gave of the expensive perfume because her value for Jesus was greater than her value for that object. And not because Jesus asked her to, but because of the overflow of her gratitude and worship for Jesus, she offered this beautiful fragrance. And tonight I had on my heart to share as my title, Our Life as a Fragrance for Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for these times that we get to share together in community, together in church, and together in your presence. And Father God, let us never take for granted just what a gift it is to be here in your presence, as we've already sung. And Father, as we've even just heard that story about being able to put perfume at your feet and wipe it with our hair, Father God, may we put ourselves in that position tonight as we enter into your presence to just give of ourselves, to be humble at your feet, and Lord God, to give you the glory and the praise that you deserve. So Father God, we pray that your word would be spoken tonight. My words would be your words, and your spirit would move upon our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So a fun fact about me is I actually can't breathe properly through my nose, and I can't smell properly thanks to a footy injury in the past. I broke it a few years ago. And it's also proven, another fun fact about breathing, that women have a better sense of smell than men. Did you know that? Women have a better sense of smell than men. Another fact about smell is that people can remember smells with a 65% accuracy after 1 year, whilst visual recall is only 50% after 3 months. So we can recall things by our smell much better than we can recall things via our sight. We can all relate to and appreciate a good smell and equally a bad one. Hands up if you ever sat next to someone that smells. Hands up if you're sitting next to someone that smells right now. Not really. We at least shower 3 times every week here. Smell is significant. Fragrance is significant. Ephesians 5 verse 1 to 2 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." In the Old Testament, we see referred to a number of times as a pleasing aroma. We see sacrifice as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. It gives a picture of sacrifice being made and smoke rising as a pleasing fragrance to God. Exodus 29:18, an example of this, "And burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord." Leviticus 3:16, "And the priest shall burn them on the altar as a food offering with a pleasing aroma." And if we refer to 2 Samuel 6:13, we actually see the Ark of the Covenant being carried by the Israelites, and this ark is representative of God's presence going with them. And it needed to be handled with absolute respect and reverence through this time. And so as they moved it, the word says in verse 13, "When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he, being David, sacrificed a bull and fattened a calf." Every 6 steps that they stepped, so on the 7th, he would sacrifice. So why was sacrifice so significant in producing this pleasing fragrance to the Lord? Because it illustrated a heart turned to him. And years later, Jesus came as the ultimate sacrifice, God's own son, sent so that we could carry the presence of God with us, the Holy Spirit within us. And as a result, instead of seeing the physical sacrifice as shown in the Old Testament, we have Jesus' sacrifice living and dwelling within us so that wherever we go, we can be releasing a heavenly fragrance to God. We carry that with us. 1 Peter 2 verse 5 says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." I wonder if right now you can reflect on your own life and reflect upon whether you are living as a fragrant aroma to God. And it comes back to the question, well, who are we living for? In what direction is our heart pointed? Joshua 24:15, I refer to this verse often. "Choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Choosing who you are living for is not a once-off decision. It is a daily commitment. Choose this day who you will serve. So who are you living for? Who are you serving? And in verse 3 of our passage tonight, it says, Mary took that pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped it with her hair. And this perfume was worth 300 denarii, which is a year's worth of savings. So in our terms, it's $40,000 to $50,000 worth of perfume, a huge amount of money. But Mary was prepared to only pour out the very best on Jesus' feet. She didn't hold back. She didn't let thoughts of maybe I could get away with giving a lesser perfume or something a little less significant. Maybe I could use this for something more beneficial. Instead, she was just willing to go all in the moment with Jesus, to give a sacrifice to him. And my first key point tonight, if you're taking notes, is this: living as a fragrance for Jesus starts with a heart of gratitude. Living as a fragrance for Jesus starts with a heart of gratitude. Because when we look at sacrifice like this through the lens of self-preservation, it looks wasteful. But a heart of gratitude makes sacrifice look minimal. When people from outside church find out that we give away our first 10% of what we earn to tithe, that probably seems like a waste. It seems wasteful to them. But if you have the context of who Jesus is, what he has done, and the magnitude of who it is that we serve, sacrifice actually looks minimal. And when we're living for ourselves, sacrifice will always seem wasteful. But when living for Jesus, it looks minimal. In this beautiful moment of Mary pouring out what she had in reverence to Jesus, she was recognizing who he was as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords, sitting next to Lazarus, who is recently raised from the dead. And I can imagine that her perspective in this moment is not one of how much am I giving here, but actually of I'm so in gratitude and in awe of my Savior that I just wish I could give more. I just want to be able to give more. And that's a heart of gratitude, is I just want to be able to give more to my Savior. And it's worth noting another contrast between Judas and Mary is that Mary, as shown by her attitude, illustrates someone who recognizes that they are so undeserving of the love and the forgiveness of God. Whereas Judas's response points to an attitude of someone who believes they have the right to be in the presence of Jesus. And if we think we deserve God's affection, then we will never be grateful for God's affection. If we think we deserve God's love, then we will never respond to it with full gratitude. And I love the posture of Mary going, Jesus, all I have is yours. Because being here in your presence is actually just such a gift. I'm so undeserving of this moment, but I'm here. And I wonder if you can recall a time in your life where you've just felt so consumed by the presence of Jesus, by the presence of God, consumed by his grace, by his love, by his power, by his peace. And when you're in that moment, everything else seems to fade away. We sung about it tonight. Nothing else. I'm just caught up in your presence. I want to lay here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. I remember being on a summer camp as a teenager. And being a typical teenage boy, I was about to go into the meeting in the evening. And I looked up on my Facebook and I saw that the girl that I was seeing and dating had just gotten in a relationship with another guy. And before I went on camp, we were basically official, and a few days later, she was gone. And I would have been like, God, you sent me on this camp. You sent me on this camp for a few days, and it's cost me the girl I was going to marry, says 15-year-old Matt. So I went into the meeting distraught and everything's ruined. And then the song With Everything is playing and I'm singing the song and I'm like, God, I'm giving you my heartbreak right now. I'm giving it over to you. I know you'll fix everything. Just give me a sign. And so in faith, I opened my eyes and I caught the eyes of another girl who was worshiping at the same time. And everything just clicked. It was like, it was her it was meant to be all along. It's been a long journey of chasing the one, but God, in this moment of worship with you, you have pointed out to me the one that I was supposed to be with. Now, if you'd excuse me, I'm going to go and get this girl's attention and leave. And I left the worship moment to pursue my teenage hormones at the time. My eyes in this moment, and it wasn't Holly, by the way, and it didn't work out. My eyes in this moment were never really fixed on Jesus. They were simply on what Jesus could do for me. And unlike Mary, I wasn't actually consumed by the presence of Jesus. Instead, I was consumed by what Jesus could do for me. Which leads us to the contrast in Judas's response. He says, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor. And in this moment, Judas is not only rebuking Mary and the perfume, but he's rebuking Jesus. He's saying, Jesus, how could you let this happen? And Mary falls at Jesus' feet and makes this incredible offering towards him, and Judas is shocked. But not only is Judas shocked, I'm sure many of the others at the table were shocked too and probably thinking this is a little bit weird as well. But to Judas, this wasn't just weird and shocking, it was wrong. He was thinking, there are so many better places for this perfume than on your feet, he was thinking. In verse 6, it says, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. So Judas was not interested in offering a holy fragrance to God. Judas was for Judas. And so in doing so, he tries to make out as though Mary and Jesus are being wasteful. But there's a line between waste and sacrifice, and that line is your heart. As we said before, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And where was Judas's heart? It was not for the poor. It was not for Jesus. It was for himself. And he's stealing from the offering. He is following Jesus because he's pretty sure Jesus' stocks are going to rise. He's investing in him because he thinks if he overthrows Caesar, then this is going to pay dividends for me. I'm going to be raking it in by the end of this. And in the following week, if you know the story of Judas, we can see that he is the one who betrays Jesus to be crucified. Perhaps this was one of the contributing moments where he figured, this is not ending up the way I planned. This is not actually a financial investment. This is not about me. But if the purpose of our Christianity is, what can Jesus get me? What can Jesus do for me? Then we're missing the point. If we're following Jesus because we think this is how we get looked after in life, then that is not the point. And if we have that mentality, a result is often that God's ways do not make sense to us. And that being the reason, because the things that God does is based around the fact that Jesus has already given us all that we are ever going to need. God does what he does on the basis of he's already given us all that we are ever going to need through Jesus Christ. And so as long as we are of the perspective of needing more, we will never be able to give fully to God. So Judas, in this moment, he's in need of more, and so he's not able to give to Jesus. Because Jesus is the point. Our focal point doesn't need to be on what is yet to be fulfilled. Our focal point is on what has already been fulfilled. Then everything that we do, everything that we sacrifice, is a response out of gratitude. And the perfume is not the point. The poor people is not the point. The money is not the point. Jesus is the point and everything that he represents. Jesus knows this when he says, you will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Because we know Jesus cares for the poor. He says, whatever you have done for the least of these, you have done for me. But the reason we have poor people, the reason we have poverty, is not a lack of provision. It's not even because of waste. It's because we live in a broken world. And Jesus is teaching that you can either go straight to the need, or you can go straight to the source of the solution in Jesus Christ. Mary, without even knowing, just out of a heart of gratitude to Jesus, is preparing him for his death. In verse 7, it says, it was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. And the day of Jesus' death and resurrection will be the ultimate solution for all poverty, for all sickness, for all brokenness in the world. So no matter how hard we work in our own strength, we will not be able to fix what's broken in this world. Instead, God calls us to bring it to the solution, to bring it to Jesus. And in doing so, we get these beautiful moments of intimacy as illustrated by Mary in the presence of God. Which is point number 2, living as a fragrance for Jesus is built upon intimacy and relationship with him. I remember the year of 21st a little while back, and it was one of those years where it's like you've got a function every week, you've got a birthday to go to every week. And the thing about 21st when you're in that year is that half the time you're seeing the same people doing the same thing every week. And I'm also introverted, you may not know that about me, but hanging out with a lot of people all the time doesn't actually fill me with energy. And this is bad, I don't do this now, but in this year, I went through a phase of doing the old pop-in to these 21st. And we'd get there, we'd drop a present, we'd sign a card, we'd make sure our presence was known, we'd get in the picture, make sure we're there, said happy birthday, and then go out. And I know none of you would ever do that. You would stick around, Chris would. But sometimes we can place God in that bracket as well. We can drop in on a Sunday, or we can drop in to church to tick a box, to do it as efficiently as possible. And what ends up happening is we can gain an understanding. We know what we believe, we accept who he is, but understanding doesn't automatically lead to application. Understanding doesn't lead to relationship. And at those 21st, I wasn't building relationships in those times. My mind was focused on getting to the next thing. And the more in which we spend time in relationship with God, the more in which our actions reflect that in which we know. I know that God is the creator of heaven and earth. I know that I can trust him. I know that we're called to live by faith and not by sight. I know all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. But do I always live out a reflection of that understanding? When I see cost of living, when I see interest rates going up, when I see the difficult circumstances, does my reaction reflect the God in which I know and want to serve? It comes back to our relationship with him, not just our knowledge of him. I want my constant prayer and my goal to be, God, help me live out what I believe. Philippians 4 verse 9 says, what have you learnt and received and heard and seen in me? Practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. So if we are living in relationship with God, not only does the Holy Spirit teach us more about God's character, but he helps us to live it out. Because we are designed for relationship with him. And so when in relationship, he reminds us when it comes to giving, when it comes to sacrifice, when it comes to steps of faith and obedience, that everything came from him, and so everything belongs to him. Therefore, when God created man for relationship, when he created Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis, he also designed, you know, the things of this earth, and he is our creator, he is our designer. And so if he designed money, if he designed family, if he designed work, it was all actually intended to point to him. It was pointed for relationship with him. We went to an incredible restaurant with Pastor Cass and Andy a few weeks ago. And meat was their specialty at this place. It was an amazing place. And if you're a vegetarian, then perhaps block your ears for a moment. But one of the titles of the dishes was a dry-aged, vintage, 60-month-old grass-fed ribeye on the bone. Any steak fans in here? That probably sounds like a dream. Now, there are other aspects of this dish, not just the meat, that complement the meat that they don't mention in the title. It would seem crazy to list in that menu garlic, butter, parsley with a hint of meat. It would just, no one would order it. Because the garlic, the butter, the parsley is added to the dish to complement the meat, not the other way around. And with God as our master chef, as the creator of all, he created work, he created friends, he created family, money, sport, art, music, passions. All really great things, but they're all meant to be complementary to the main ingredient. They're all meant to complement our relationship with God, not the other way around. They're all meant to point us to our relationship with God. Garlic on its own is not nice. It doesn't live up to what it's meant to be, but combined with what it is meant to be with, it's delicious. In our passage, Judas was seemingly focused on the poor people, although we know that he had ulterior motives through this. But even through caring for poor people, even though that is encouraged, when it comes at the expense of your relationship with God, it's a negative. Just as Judas is missing this moment of relationship with Jesus. For there are many good things that God has created to complement our relationship with him. But we have to make sure that they don't turn into an idol. And how do we know if they're an idol? We ask, are they taking away from our relationship with God, or are they adding to it? If having more family time is ever an excuse to not come to church, then it falls away from God's design. And I know that we don't have kids, and so we don't necessarily understand the struggle and appreciate the difficulty that goes with that. But what I do know is that God designed family, and he designed church, and he designed for family to be within church, then honoring him would not involve separating the two. And if God designed for us to have jobs, as Adam's first job was to look after the garden and look after the Garden of Eden, but if it was his design for us to have jobs, then honoring God would not involve separating our work from him. No matter what you do, if work becomes an obstacle to your relationship with God, if work becomes all-consuming so you can't spend time with God, then you are not living in God's design. Colossians 3, 23, 24 says, whatever you do, not what some things you do, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So let's not serve the things in our life that are meant to be a fragrance to God in contributing to our relationship with him. Because God's design is for us to welcome him into all aspects of our life so that we can be in constant relationship. Our marriage, our family, our work, our sport, our relationships, our education, our friends, our church are all meant to complement the main ingredient, our relationship with God. And just as Mary offered the perfume, handing all these things over to God and making this heavenly fragrance for our Father, so we are called to offer these things up to our Father. And I might just get the worship team up quickly, because I think if we've got time, we might finish with nothing else, if that's all right. The third and final point for tonight is this. Living as a fragrance for Jesus leaves an attractive scent. Matthew 5, 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. As Mary poured out this perfume on Jesus' feet in verse 3, it actually says the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And so not only was Jesus blessed, but those around him were blessed too. Those around Mary were blessed too. And what I don't think she would have realized is the implications that would have come generations later. In the version of our key passage told in Matthew earlier, in chapter 26, verse 13, it says, truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And so what Mary did as a response of her heart of gratitude and adoration for her Savior would act as a catalyst for people to do the same for generations to come. And we're here a couple of thousand years later and we're still talking about this incredible gift. The exciting thing about fully committing to God and giving all that we have back to him is that this kind of lifestyle is attractive. It's attractive to those around us. Not only do they encourage other followers to do the same, but they lead others to Christ. I don't know if you've ever walked past a Subway store and you probably recognize that smell. It draws you in every time. It's a strong smell, but it's great. It draws you in the same way. When we are living this lifestyle, completely sold out, handed over to God, it draws people in. It's attractive. People want it. If Mary had have held on to what she had, if she had have held on to the perfume, then she would have missed the opportunity to not only be a blessing to Jesus in that moment, but to leave a legacy of a giving spirit for generations. And we can often hold on to what we have, hold on to control, and in doing so, sell ourselves short of what God wants to do through us. But with a willing spirit, with a willing attitude, we can know that God has greater for each and every one of us. There is more if we would just hand it all over to God. 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved, among those who are perishing. And there's just one final thing I wanted to conclude with, because when I was preparing for this message, this was the thought that I had immediately. And we've been sharing about, you know, this passage and what it's like to live as a fragrance for Jesus with a purpose greater than ourselves. And our theme as a church this year has been freedom. It's been freedom. And as we ask ourselves that question of who are we living for? Who are we striving for? What fragrance are we giving? I believe there are people tonight who need freedom from living for the approval of others. We live in a world with an identity crisis. Unfortunately, we see it year in, year out with our youth, but it's not just a youth thing, it's a people thing. Getting our gratification from other people. And if I can be real with you tonight, this is something that I have genuinely struggled with in my life as a people pleaser. I have found myself living and striving at times for those words, good job or well done, from a coach or from a family member or from friends or from bosses, people that I value the opinion of. And don't get me wrong, I still love encouragement and it's important, but it's not why we live. It's not my motivation. Because the problem with chasing the affection of people is that, number one, our worth comes down to a matter of performance. And number two, we become a slave to the wrong master. When it comes to our Heavenly Father, you already have affection. You're already loved. No matter what you think you have or haven't done to earn affection, it is already there. Salvation is in a heart turned to Him. And I still need to check myself that I'm not striving for somebody's approval or recognition, but I'm striving because I want my life to be a pleasing fragrance to my Heavenly Father. John chapter 1 verse 12, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. It is from this perspective that we can respond as Mary responded to Jesus. I'm a child of the Most High. My value, my worth is found in Him. And now out of gratitude, I want to allow my life to be a heavenly fragrance unto You. I want to live out my gratitude to You. I want to be in constant relationship with You. And in doing so, I want to draw others into Your presence. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You so much for the ability to come and kneel at Your feet and, Lord God, be somewhere where we don't deserve to be. But Lord God, You have accepted us as our creator, as our designer. And Lord God, You have designed for us to be in Your presence, in relationship with You. And so, Father God, right now, I just want to pray particularly for those people who have put their worth, their striving, their energy into the wrong place. Who perhaps are living for people's approval. For the approval of their friends or relatives or family, whoever it is, Lord God. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would see who we are in You. Would be able to live out who You have called us to be. And Lord God, for our perspective to not be on what it is that we need in our life, but what it is You have already done. The freedom that we already have in You. And Jesus, as our response, we just want to live out gratitude to You. We want to pour out everything that we have and lay it at Your feet. So Jesus, now as we sing these words, Father, let it be not just a declaration for tonight in being in Your presence, but Father God, a declaration as we go out of this place that we will involve You in every aspect of our life. That we will involve You in our work, in our families, in our relationships, in the decisions that we make. Father God, we want You to be the head of it all. And we want to live it all in relationship with You the way that You have designed it. Thank You, Lord.